Nikki Pellegrino, the last time I saw you, we were knocking back beers and eating fine food at lovely Jeff the Chef's place, Vinny's.
I know, it was a Monteith's food and beer matching night.
Wasn't it fabulous though?
It was, but what I discovered from that is five beers is too many.
Because
there was a beer to match with every course.
There was.
Well, no one said you had to finish it, did they?
Oh.
But I can't bear waste.
No, well, I didn't. I finished all mine too, because you can't take the glass back to the kitchen unless it's empty.
It was a fantastic meal though, and who knew you could match wine
and anyway beer? What were you doing out? You haven't got time to go out and socialize when you're writing a book.
They let me out occasionally. And because my books have always got quite a sort of foodie theme, I consider eating important research.
Well, I think that's a very, very wise idea. So this new book, Recipe for Life, who's it about this time?
It's about two women. One's a very young woman just starting out on her life. She is English. And one is an old Italian woman. And they meet and they kind of, I suppose it's like creating a recipe. Two separate things come together and create a new thing. They help each other kind of make the changes in their life that they need to make.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not got any, it's called Recipe for Life,
but it doesn't have actual
recipes in it.
I was going to say, does it have a few recipes like the last one?
No, this one is just a recipe for life, not a recipe for food.
So when you're not writing a book, what are you doing?
Well, I still do lots of freelance journalism. I do the Herald on Sunday's books page, which is a really great job, actually, because I get to interview lots of other authors. And often I'll ask them for writing tips, you know, the ones that are a lot more successful than I am. And I'll sort of say, what do you do? How do you make yourself sit down? How do you get, you know, because that is the hardest thing, I think, about writing, actually making yourself sit down and do it when you're freelance. So there's no one saying, get at your desk right now. You've got to make yourself.
Well, how long's this one taken to write?
About a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to remember the last time you came in with your other book.
I was probably just trying to finish it then.
Ah.
And I'm in the same position with the next one now.
Oh, you've got another one.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
One that's meant to come out next year, but I'm only sort of probably about half the way through it. So I need to, once I've finished going around and talking about this book, I've got to sort of lock myself away. You won't see me at any beer and food matching evenings.
Oh,
I promise.
Okay. Well, that's all right. No, it was lovely company. Now, what am I going to ask you? That's right. As a journalist, and I want to bring up something that really, really peeved me off, you came out with your story about your knife point attack. You were very honest about it and you totally did not portray yourself as a victim. I was furious when I saw the Herald story and they had literally just ripped the story from the mag and added their own flavour to it and tried to make you look like you were this weak, pathetic.
I know, because they use those emotive words like trauma and ordeal that I'd avoided using when I talked about it and written about it myself. They also managed to get stuff wrong.
Apparently it was a small town in New Zealand.
Yeah, and actually happened to me in the north of England. So that interested me. So I was kind of fairly furious too, but then, you know,
did you tell them off?
I did a little bit of telling off.
That's fantastic. I'm pleased to hear that.
But I've worked in the media a long time and I kind of ought to have known that that might happen, really. In fact, I looked at it and thought, how can I have been so naive not to think that that might happen? So, yeah, and it would have been nice if they hadn't done it. It kind of gave me a bit of a fright, but, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world, really.
Well, just say right
worst
here and now,
happen.
Nikki Pellegrino is not a victim.
No.
Any irresponsible journalist saying otherwise will get the bash from me.
And you know all those words like trauma and ordeal? Mm. The media has kind of ruined them, you know, because everything is a tragedy and everything is a trauma.
Getting out of bed's tragic, really, isn't
it's
it?
It's definitely traumatic and an ordeal. That is true.
So you're on to the next book already. When are we going to see that one, do you think?
Hopefully around this time next year, although, you know, you never know. I might finish it and send it off and they might say, no, please try again. So.
Yes, nice try, no cigar.
Yeah, because you work on a book for a year on your own, then you send it off to your editor and that's the first person.
Has that happened to you?
No, I've had to. I've had to do a bit of fixing, but I think that's probably normal. I've never just been told, no, please go away and write a different one.
Put a bit of pink icing on.
Yeah.
All right, Nikki, lovely to talk to you and we look forward to the next book.
Thank you.